Welcome to Season 3 of the Student Leadership Podcast. We believe you were created to make a difference. So we want to equip you to lead your generation in whatever setting you find yourself in. So whether it's your high school, middle school, college campus, or anywhere in between, we want to help you point others to Jesus. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to OT Overtime. It's the overtime episode. And I've got Aaron Holt here. I've got Colin Robinson here. I've got myself here.
Jordan, that's voice. I felt like you were getting ready to be like, Sunday.
Oh, man. Not like,
buy your tickets for Monster Truck Day.
Yes, Let's go. Okay, great. Hey, whatever day it is that you're joining us here, we're glad, even if it's Monster Truck Madness Monday or whatever, we're glad you're here. And we're breaking down an awesome session from Josh Wellborn. If you have not listened to that, go back and listen to it, because that's really what we're doing. We're breaking it down. Colin, I'm coming to you. We're coming in hot.
Let's go.
Any quick thoughts from Josh, who talked a lot about, man, you don't get to choose whether you're a leader. What was your quick reaction? Because Aaron and I both got to talk to him. You're here now. You don't get to choose if you're a leader. What was your initial reaction to that question?
Man,
that statement, excuse me.
There was a lot to, I mean, as you said, to unpack in that episode. But whenever we talk about the word leader, there's so many different ideas that everybody gets in their head.
Yeah.
That is not the same word to everybody. You're probably even listening to me and like, yeah, I've got an idea of a leader. And that like has changed, where leader at first was, this is the person that's in charge. Yeah. That's changed of like, now this is like the person that cares the most.
Hmm.
And this is the person that is actually going to take up the most responsibility to make sure that we actually get to the place that we need to go to. So whenever he was like talking about that at first, it's changed, because for myself, I don't think I was actually put in any type of leadership responsibilities or like positions until like really like I was at like the end of college. And it wasn't because I was in like some spot where like everybody was like, look at all this talent, look at all that you have. I had one of my mentors that was like, now's your time. You got to actually step up. You got to look at the needs that are around you, and you need to do something about this now.
Hmm.
And that's when I learned like, oh, wow, like there's some people that are absolutely going to be thrust and thrown into this position of like leadership and have to figure out what to do with it. There's other people that you're going to have to really look around you and realize like it's the word's not going to wait around for you and be like, okay, when are you ready to like finally do it?
You're going to have
to step up and say like, I'm going to own this responsibility. I'm going to care about other people, and I'm going to get us to the place that we need to go to.
Hmm. I mean, you said the person who cares the most. I also think a lot of times it's influence.
Oh, yeah.
Who has the most influence and can move the people to do something. It used to just be who's the oldest person in the room. That's the leader, right?
What should we do next?
No, like in school and stuff. It was just and then even, you know, I'm a freshman, so it's the senior.
Or the tallest person, like what he talked about.
Yes. Okay, this is maybe an interesting question. So he said, you don't really get to choose if you want to be a leader. You know, you don't get to choose whether or not you are. He said it's almost just a response that he has. When did you know or decide you wanted to be a leader, Aaron?
Man, I don't know if I could point to like a specific moment in life. I'm sure it was when I was a teenager at some point. Maybe it was just because I was the baby of the family and I like was jealous of my older sisters. I don't know. It could have been some of that. And I think personality does play into some of that, your position in your family. To Josh's point, sometimes even your physical stature plays into the way people view you and the way you feel like you need to, you know, to act. I love what Josh shared when he said, like, if you really are genuinely choosing first and foremost to be a follower, and you're choosing followership and you're choosing discipleship, being a follower of Christ, then that naturally comes with leadership, especially if we define leadership the way you just defined it, Jordan, which is influence, you know? Yeah. That's really what he's trying to unpack for us. It's like, it's not that you don't get to choose that you're going to be the leader of an organization or the, you know, the leader of a business or things like that. It's that you understand as a follower of Christ, I have responsibility to be a disciple who disciples others, that involves leadership.
Okay, right? I'm gonna be the black sheep of the family. I'm happy to put on the evil man's cloak.
Oh gosh,
I think for me it wasn't from a really great place, but it was from a critical eye. I felt like I actually had a lot of opinions. Why does my youth pastor not do this? If I was team captain, I would do this. This teacher has no idea, and I had all these ideas of others. And someone said, anyone can be like a problem identifier. If you're going to have all these ideas of ways people are doing it wrong, you need to be a problem solver, not just a problem identifier. And so actually my first leadership was something I was whinging about. I was like, I would do it this way and this way. And they're like, okay, you can lead it. And I was cocky. So I was like, sure, fine. I'll show you. But I do think that's actually an interesting angle. You know, it's like, if you have a lot naturally of opinions on how things should be done better, that yielded over to God and a little less prideful could actually be the beginnings of you stepping into leadership.
I think I love that you brought that up, because I think there's a lot of people that are, and I'm not saying this about you because I don't actually know you at that time.
Probably was true.
No, but there's a lot of people that are overly critical, and then there's some people that will like say to them, like, you know, you're going to be a leader one day and that's going to be used. And I think there's got to be a difference between I am overly critical versus I can identify a problem and I can fix it.
Yeah.
Like, I look at, like, he was mentioning David in there, of like, David was one of the people that actually looked and said, what Goliath is doing is a problem and I'm going to deal with it. Yeah. Everybody else was trying to figure out, like, how do we not confront this?
He also deferred to others too. He was like, are you guys going to let this roll? And they're like, yeah, probably. And he's like, okay, fine. I guess I'll do it. But
he's not being critical of like the armies there. And even in like all these situations, like if you look at that whole story of David, he's not being critical of like, Saul, you're a bad king.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Saul,
yeah,
you are giving me the wrong resources. Saul, you aren't equipping me to the things that I want to be. I think there's even some students right now that probably might be in the situation where they're like, wow, I really wish my youth pastor was doing this for me
or
doing
that.
Oh, who hasn't said that before? But there's got to be a point where you're like releasing that and saying, like, I'm not just going to be overly critical of everything. There's times whenever God opens our eyes to see problems, and that's for us to deal with.
Yeah.
And we have to respond appropriately to it.
Oh, yeah.
I'd encourage you to, like, you know, you both just alluded to this, and there's a lot of me in what you just said as well, which is that thought of like, you step into an environment, you step into a room, you step into a service, a program, whatever, and you start to kind of like with your eyes pick apart stuff. Well, why is it like this? Why is it like this? Why is it like that?
Was the wall painted okay, that
so
color?
The church, I think sadly, the church has found ways to squash that leadership gift in people, because when that sort of thought process hits us, we tend to feel convicted, like, what's wrong with me? Why do I feel this way? Why am I so arrogant that I, you know, like, and so what's happening is that, because the church is kind of like squashed that and like, that's not welcome here. And you just need to be quiet and be humble. Right. And so I'm saying that because if you're listening and you find in yourself a tendency to pick apart church services or communicators or leaders privately in your mind, I'm not talking about publicly because that's totally different, but in your mind,
right.
It is a sign of a leadership gift.
I agree.
Yeah.
It is a sign. It's a sign of a leadership gift. That doesn't mean that you are well prepared to use that gift correctly yet.
Oh yeah.
But it is a sign of a leadership gift first and foremost. And here's the thing. This is a principle that comes from Andy Stanley. So I'll give him credit. And that is this, that when your leadership gift creates a relational rift, it is always the fault of the gifted, not the gift.
Okay. So some of us who are in remedial math need you.
Jordan, I sucked at math too. Okay.
Yeah. So
I had tutoring for algebra too. All right.
I think it sounded really good. And I was like, I halfway followed it. And at the very end, I felt pressure to understand it.
You just wanted to nod and be like, yeah, that's so good. Okay.
So when you have a gifting,
when you're,
and
when
it
your
causes
leadership
a
gift,
rifting,
when your gifting,
you didn't
causes
see the
a
shimmy
rifting,
Jordan just yes. did with that.
Yeah. Yes,
that
was shimmy. Great.
When your gifting causes, when your leadership gift causes a relational
a fight,
rift.
Yes.
It's not a problem with your gift.
Got it. Yep.
It's a problem with the person who possesses the gift.
So as in like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just opinionated. That's what it is. It's like not about your opinion.
Exactly.
It's dude, it's okay. You.
It's like how you expressed it.
Yes. And here's what the church world has done. The church world has not only squashed you relationally, but they've also squashed your gift in the process.
Yeah.
And now you walked out of there feeling like, I guess I'm not a leader at all, because And it, no. You are a leader. You just managed your gift incorrectly. And because you manage and use your gift incorrectly or immaturely would be another way to say it.
Yeah.
Because you use your leadership gifting immaturely, you create a relational tension.
Okay.
You are gifted as a leader. You just need to learn how to use your gift.
Yeah. There's students right now. I've had students that literally did this to me yesterday, where they'll come up and they'll be like, you should do it like this.
Right.
That is the
give them context for yesterday.
Yeah. So yesterday, literally, I have a bunch of students that are on our kids ministry team that are all doing stuff, and we're prepping for this big event coming up at the end of the month. So I have students that are coming up to me being like, you should do it like this. You should do it like that. You should make this for it.
My idea.
Yeah. That right there is not helpful to anybody.
Right. Why? Hold on. Why? Because what if their idea is better than yours? Are you just prideful, Colin? No, I know not.
My idea is the best. No, you have to understand there's times whenever you say things to a leader or somebody in charge, the you should do this is, hey, here's 10 extra hours of work that you should do to paint it to look like this, to make it look like that. And I remember like when I first joined like our kids ministry, I had the most perfect and beautiful and wonderful, I can't make this sound sarcastic enough, ideas of exactly what we needed our kids stuff to be. And some of it, I was right. Like some of our t-shirts needed to be changed. Some of the way that things looked needed to be changed. It took 3 years before I finally was able to really learn how to communicate it appropriately.
Okay.
Instead of saying, you should do it like this, we should do that. It was, hey, I've got an idea and I think it could work. What do you think about this?
So
timing is everything.
I was just going to say that.
No, that's why I said it. Yeah, that's why I want to try to steal it from you, Jordan. Yeah. But like, like that, when you have that kind of thought, you know, pull that leader aside privately, not before or after or during the service.
Yeah, right before they go up for their message. Like, by the way, I think that you're doing a bad job with developing people.
After the service is over, shoot your leader, your youth pastor, or your kids pastor, or your Chi Alpha director, wherever you're serving. Yeah. Shoot them a text and be like, hey, I'd love to grab coffee with you. Got a couple thoughts, got a couple questions, blah, 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 blah.
Well, I think it also, shows if they want to just criticize and be in control, or if they're really about furthering the event or whatever. And I think it's easy. Okay, we're an hour from kickoff here. Like, I love that you have 10 ideas different, but where were you 3 months ago when we had a planning meeting and you wanted to come? I mean, sometimes I think that's a great test. Like, are you interested in seeing this thing all the way through? And I think that's awesome to say, hey, next year when we do this event, I'd love to help out a little earlier so we can see a better product. And I think that's a good motivation check right there.
Any good leader would welcome that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay. Talk us through, Aaron. I know you've been in scenarios like this. I'm really drilling down on this. What is a way that a student could approach you? You know, okay, we've got the timing now, but give them the right words. What's a way they could approach you that would actually warm your heart towards their idea rather than kind of having you feel a little calloused?
Yeah, definitely don't go up to Pastor Colin and say, you should do it like this.
Don't use those words.
That's always the wrong approach. I think the approach for me personally that I appreciate the most is when someone says something, a positive first, which is like, man, I really love this. I love what we're doing. And I think this is really great. Just anything.
Yeah. Right?
And then transitions into, hey, I had a couple of thoughts or a couple of ideas I'd like to share with you. You know, when's a good time for me to do that? You know, like ask the leader, when is a good time, right? Because sometimes even if in a private conversation, it's not necessarily a good time. And you don't know that as someone who's serving on your leader's team. Yeah. You don't always know that, right? So ask them, hey, when's a good time that I could do that? And then when you get to the point where you're sharing those ideas, just share it as an idea. Don't share it as that I am God's gift to you and the world.
No, that's actually a very good suggestion.
Don't share it as I know that I'm right, with the attitude of like, I know that my idea is great, that it's the best idea. Don't share it as if I have thought through every single possible contingency and I know for certain this idea will not only work, but it will be better than anything we've ever done in the history of humanity.
Yep.
Right?
You know, yep.
It's just an idea.
Man, that's...
And also don't share your idea as if it is a moral absolute or moral principle where it's like, if we don't do this, we're not going to be biblical about something. It's just an idea. Share it just as an idea and have a heart and posture where your leader might say, I love your idea. Or they might say, let me think about your idea. Or they might say, I'm not sure that would work here. Be okay with that.
Let me just be honest enough to say, I really did think that my idea was the best idea often. I did. And I really did think it was a moral thing. I tended to think in that. Like, we're doing it wrong. I was passionate, but I was so misguided. So what a wonderful principle that you shared there, because I think people feel passionate because they do think they're right. They do think like, this is black and white and you're missing it.
And sometimes we feel the need to give our idea a little bit of a little bit of theological backing.
I love you.
It has nothing to do with theology at all. It's all just methodology. When you're talking leadership, especially in a church context, which is a lot of what a lot of our audience is, you know, you're leading in a church context, right? There is a very wide difference between methodology and theology, and there should be.
Yeah.
There should be a gap there, and be okay with that gap, right? Because it makes both of them stronger, right? Yeah. Because now every time we change methodology, we're not worried about changing theology, right? So methodology changes. I mean, you know, we're all grateful for methodology that changes. That's why we have padded chairs and air conditioning in church, because methodology changed. That's why we have parking lots for our cars and rather than stables for our horses. We're happy about methodology changing, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it's good. Even I like that you talked about change. You've got to be okay with the fact that you might not see the change for a long time. And that's just something to accept. Get that lesson really in your head early as a leader of real change takes a lot of time. You will see problems and you will see issues that most likely it's not because people don't care or people don't want to see the same things happen, but things take time. Leadership is a long game.
Yeah.
Like, you have to get comfortable with the fact that it's not going to be done immediately.
Back to your question, Jordan, like, how do I do it if I have an idea for my leader? Here, add to the list of everything I already said. Go into that conversation assuming that you don't know everything that your leader knows.
Oh, that is great, because I never did that.
Right.
I'm just realizing how bad I did it. Never.
Just make the assumption in advance. There's a ton more information that my leader is aware of and knows about than what I do. And that information is what actually speaks to a lot of the decisions that they're making about how they do things and why they do things and so on.
I don't mean to drag this out, but I do feel like we've kind of struck gold here. And I want to say, I think for me, now that I'm hearing you say, don't do it like this, don't do it like this, don't do it like this, I'm realizing, I when you were first talking, I was like, oh, I messed that up. Ooh, mess up here, mess up there. I'm realizing I, a lot of times, had ideas and it was usually birthed out of pride. It was like my arrogance saying, I care more than my youth pastor. I'm more aware than my youth pastor. I know what the people want. When it was really just my opinion on what I liked a little bit more or thought I could do a better job than him. And so I think there's a gut check where it's like, are you trying to move the ball forward with your idea? Or is this just about you kind of grasping at control? Which brings me to a quote that he said, which was, you can't always be David. You're not always the hero of the story. Are you willing to be Samuel? Are you willing to be an encourager and speak life over someone? Which totally changes the motivation for advice giving.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, when you say that, you know, my ideas sometimes when I was younger were birthed out of pride, I would say to you, like, if I was coaching you right now, I'd be like, maybe. Or maybe it was a leadership gifting that you allowed to lead you to pride. Mm-hmm. Rather than a leadership gifting that you allowed or forced to lead you to humility.
Wow.
Right. And so that's where I don't want young leaders to get confused about their leadership.
That's
gift,
a good distinction, Aaron.
Right. Because sometimes you are misinterpreting a leadership gift for arrogance in your life. And then you run so hard away from arrogance that you're also running from your leadership gifting at
that's
the same
so true.
Time. Right. So make sure you properly identify what it is or how it got there. So I appreciate your transparency, Jordan, when you're just like, man, I was egotistical. at one point, yes, you were. Obviously, you're admitting that, but it doesn't mean it started that way.
Yeah, that's true. That's so true. Thank you.
Yeah, and let me say on the flip side of this, there's a number of students that I can pick out on my team, and even some adults that are very good at being able to criticize and pick out problems. And I'm sitting here reflecting on this. There's a number of people that have, and this was like from a podcast that was a few weeks ago, talking about you want to be faithful, accountable, and teachable. There's a number of people on my team that whenever they come to me with ideas, that's not even really a question. I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do that. Like, I'm not even thinking about it that much of like, wow, they're coming to criticize me. Whenever you're there and you're being faithful, you're being accountable, and you're being like teachable under the people that you're serving, and you come to them, they're not even going to feel like this is some critical blow. They're going to be like, you're a part of this.
Yeah.
I do value your opinion. So I do want to hear what you have to do.
Let's send it.
Colin, do you want to, before we end this episode, do you want to call out by name
the students, the people?
Do you want alphabetical or by age?
Social media.
I'm just kidding. I love everybody on my team.
I know you do. I know you do.
I genuinely do.
Yeah. And students, we love you, actually. We want to see you step into leadership more and be the person that God has called you to be. And I think from everything that we discussed today, and then also just the solid teaching from Josh Wellborn, just as really taking that next step. So students, hey, we believe you're called to lead your generation. Sometimes that means coming with those ideas and fanning into flame the gifting that God has put in your heart. Just make sure you're doing it with passion for Christ and love for others. Thanks so much for joining us on this OT, and we'll catch you on the next one.